podcast. I resign.
Rabbi Menachem Schleider.
Good morning. Morning, Reverend Brody. Nice to have you in the special crowd. I wanted to start off with a very quick idea, a quick remez, that is involved with the very first chelik of the parasha with the menorah. After that, I'm not going to focus so much on the menorah. Most people start off with the beginning of the parasha, focus on the menorah. I'm going to focus on the rest of the parasha, Be'ez Hashem. The Chaim Kanievsky notes a very interesting thing. He says that right at the beginning of the parasha, when we see how many times the menorah is written, we'll count four times that the menorah is mentioned. He says that there's a very interesting point that if we look into the parasha properly, we'll see it pointed out. It says, if we see the menorahs are mentioned four times, but every single time the menorah is mentioned, it is mentioned twice in one way and twice in the other way. Twice it's mentioned Molly, twice it's mentioned Chosip. Twice it's mentioned with a Vov, twice it's mentioned without the Vov. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, the reason why that is if we look into the history of how the menorah developed, then we'll see that it makes a lot of sense to how the remez comes out in the parasha. He says the following. He says that the first time a menorah was made was when Moshe Rabbeinu came in the Midbar and Ribbono Shel Olam told him to make the menorah. Ribbono Shel Olam told him, I say, Zeh Mas HaMenorah Mikshah Zov, Adirecha Alpircha Mikshah Hi. Moshe Rabbeinu made the menorah. Gevaldik. That menorah traveled with Klal Yisrael throughout the Midbar and the Mishkan. Then Klal Yisrael took it into Eretz Yisrael with them. It lasted until the Bayis Rishon. And then all the way through Bayis Rishon. At the end of Bayis Rishon, it went into Golos Bavel with Klal Yisrael. And at the end of Golos Bavel, Ezra and Nehemiah brought it back with them from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and it lasted all the way again until the time of the Yevonim, until the Yevonim came and were metame the Beis Hamikdash and all its kelim. Once the Yevonim were metame the Beis Hamikdash and all its kelim, and the Chashmonaim came along, the Chashmonaim could not use that menorah anymore, so they had to make a new menorah. And the menorah that the Chashmonaim made at the time was not made out of gold. It was made out of Shipudim Shel Barzel, which was only a menorah Shabediyevet. It wasn't until the Katchila the menorah to have. They made the menorah out of Shipudim Shel Barzel. The Gemara tells us that once they made the menorah, once the Chashmonai made the menorah out of Shipudim Shel Barzel, and they got a little wealthier, then they made themselves a menorah Shel Kesef. Once they made themselves a menorah Shel Kesef and they got a little wealthier, they made themselves a menorah Shel Zov. That menorah Shel Zov was the final menorah that Klal Yisrael had. We had four menorahs altogether. Two of them were Shel Zov. Two of them were not Shel Zov. Two of them were only menorahs which were kosher b'di'evet because of the circumstances Klal Yisrael were in at the time. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says we have a very nice remez in these psukim. There's nothing which isn't merumez in the Torah. It says we've got twice menorah mole, twice menorah chosah, twice. We had menorahs which were kosher l'katchila, and twice we had menorahs which were kosher b'di'evet. Just to start off with a very little remez connected to the Maisa menorah, the beginning of this parasha. Moving on to Shevet Levi. Of which I happen to be a humble representative. And I'm b'chushim in good company. Shevet Levi, in this week's parasha, gets the mandate to be... gets the mandate to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael, to be the Mesharsei Hashem. they get the mandate to be the Mashal Se Hashem instead of the Bechorim. Instead of the Bechorim, which were supposed to get it, Shevet Levi gets it in this week's Parsha. And Aaron HaKohen does Tnufa with them, and they're only allowed to work until they're 50, and various other details that are discussed in the Parsha this week. Now, there's a very, very, very interesting point and a gewaltige idea that I once heard from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky starts off by saying the following. He says the very first time where we hear the character of Shevet Levi is when Shevet Levi, together with Shevet Shimon, goes out and kills the whole of Shechem. Shimon and Levi together go and kill the whole of Shechem. The next thing we know about them is at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yaakov Avinu calls in Shevet Shimon and Shevet Levi, and they get a right all rollicking. They get a massive telling off. Shimon and Levi get told off. Acharta Moisi, you made me angry. Achim, Tleichomos Mecheir Yiseyem. He tells them off. And at the end of that, he says, Afitzem, Achalkim B'Yakiv, Afitzem B'Yisrael. I will spread them out among Klal Yisrael. And the obvious pshat in that is that we don't want them to be together because Shimon and Levi together means trouble. Shimon and Levi together, they cause havoc. So let's achalkim b'yakiv afitzim Yisrael, keep them apart and make sure that they're not together so that they don't cause any more trouble for Klal Yisrael. Rashi, interestingly enough, notes there that achalkim b'yakiv afitzim Yisrael means something else. He says that they're going to be the sofrim umelamdei tinoikas in Klal Yisrael. Now that's very interesting. Why in the world, after telling Shimon and Levi off like that, would Yaakov choose to say, Achalkim b'Yaakov, Afitzim b'Yisrael, that you're therefore going to be the Melamdei Tinoikis and the Sofrim in Klal Yisrael? How does that make sense? Why would they go out, these violent, impulsive people, Shimon and Levi, and you should be the Rebbes and the Sofrim in Klal Yisrael? We should entrust you with teaching our children. You're impulsive. Who knows what you might do to the Yiddish Kinderlech? Why would Yaakov say that? What's Pshat in Rashi? And let's see, Taka, how things continue. Shimon and Levi go down to Mitzrayim. They come out of Mitzrayim. They go to Har Sinai. By Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael makes an egel. Tremendous avera. Moshe Rabbeinu shouts, Mil Hashem Elai. And who comes? Shevet Levi. Shevet Shimon? Not around. Next, what happens by the mice of Zimri and Cosby? Zimri and Cosby, not only is Shevet Levi, Pinchas from Shevet Levi, goes and kills Zimri and Cosby. Who was the other Shevet? Where was Zimri from? He was from Shevet Shimon. We've got two people doing very radical things, but both coming from the opposite direction. Shevet Levi on one side is being oimed, Loichem Milchemes Hashem, and Shevet Shimon not doing very well. And we see through the whole Torah how Shevet Shimon stood up for the Ribbono Shel Olam with the kanos, with the zealousness. And Shevet Shimon, what's going on here? And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says the following. He says a gewaltige, gewaltige thing. Where did Shevet Shimon and Levi have the opportunity to change? Where did they grow apart? And he says a gewaltige thing. He says that Shevet Levi was the only Shevet that when they were in Mitzrayim, they had an opportunity to learn Torah. Shevet Shimon never had that opportunity. Yaakov Avinu realized when he was giving them the brachas that here I had two unbelievable talents at two huge Balei Kishronos. They have an opportunity and a choice how to use these talents. They have an opportunity to see how they're going to direct their lives. If they do well, they're going to be Sofim and Melamdei Tinoikis in Klal Yisrael. And Shevet Levi Taka went on to Mitzrayim, and they had this chus to be able to learn Torah all the way through the Shibbut. All the way through the Shibbut. So they had a gewaldige kanos. They were murdering it kanoim, but they managed to channel that kanos into the right path through Limud HaTorah. It's an unbelievable thought. We see later on, in Parshas Vezoyis HaBracha, there's one Shevet that isn't mentioned in Parshas Vezoyis HaBracha, as Shevet Shimon. And another shevet that's heaped upon praise upon praise. Unbelievable, unbelievable praise for Shevet Levi. That's the culmination of that journey, the culmination of that mahalach that Shevet Levi was able, had the opportunity to follow. Shevet Levi managed to take these kishroinets, like many people have. Many people have kishroinets, many people have talents. Especially when it comes to kanaas, when it comes to standing up for something that's important. Then if we have the viewpoint of the Torah, the viewpoint of Chazal, if we're able to see things from the right perspective, then our kanaas can be channeled in the right direction. If it's unfortunately the opposite, if we're coming with no guidance, with no mahalach, with no perspective, then we don't always end up the way that things are supposed to be. I was going to mention the psukim, the prokim on the psukim that I'm going to speak about. So now we're up to Perik Ches, Kapitel Ches, Pasuk Yotes. Lo yeh b'vnei Yisrael negef, lo yeh b'vnei Yisrael negef, b'geshes b'nei Yisrael el HaKodesh. Now, two very interesting stories that literally happened a few weeks ago. There was a young couple getting married. There was a young couple getting married, and I personally know the people who are involved in this maisa. There was a young couple getting married, and the father, unfortunately, the father of this young couple, didn't have the finances that it took to get this couple married off. So he went, and he decided that he's going to remortgage his house. He's going to remortgage his house. He needed 20, 30,000 pounds. He needed to remortgage his house. He went to the bank. He applied for the mortgage. And the bank started the process. And as mortgages take some time, it got delayed and delayed and delayed again. And the time of the chasna was coming up. It was getting very close. So a few nights before the chasna, he went to his local rav. And he told his rav, look, I've got a bit of a problem. I'm marrying off my child. And I need some money. My house is about to be mortgaged and I'm going through the process. I'm doing what I have to do. But it hasn't exactly come through just yet. So please, if you possibly know someone who's able to lend me the money to bridge that gap, I'd be very grateful. And he went away. The Rav got back to him. Shachris, one of the following mornings, he said, after Shachris, come over to me and we'll have a chat. After Shachris, he comes over to the Rav. He walks into the Rav's room. He sits down and he sees there's the Rav. And the Rav's son. The Rav and the Rav's son are sitting there together. Strange, you know, private conversation. I'm surprised he involved his son in this. Didn't make any sense to me. Maybe he wants to give things over to him. He wants to do shemesh. He wasn't sure what's going on. And he sat down. And the Rav told him the following. He said, look, you need to borrow money. My son's happy to lend. I've made a shidduch. I'd like to make a shidduch between you and my son. You want to borrow, he's happy to lend. Gewalt. The son pipes up, I owe you two separate thank yous. What's this? He said, firstly, it's a very nice opportunity for me to be able to do a tovah with Yid, to be able to do chesed. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to help out with Achnosis Kala. Thank you very much for that. And he appreciated it. Very nice. Hakoras HaTov number two. Why do I owe you the second appreciation? He said the following. He said, I have two bank accounts. I have one bank account, which is my checking account, money going in, money going out. It's what I use for my day-to-day needs. So I have another bank account, which I use as a savings account. So the savings account, I try very, very much, it should only be a one-way bank account, only things going in. I try very hard that things shouldn't be leaving that bank account because I'm trying to save up to buy a house or for whatever it is. So he said, that bank account, I don't usually look at. I have no idea what's going on there. I try and make sure I pay money in there every month. I don't look how much is in there, and I just try and... So when it came to lending you money, I had to go down to the bank. And I went into the bank one morning, and I go inside, I look at my bank account, and I realize there's some discrepancies, something not right. And I go and speak to the bank manager. And we sit down together, and we realize that money has been leaving the bank account. What's going on? Sits down, he makes an investigation, and he realizes that someone in Amsterdam has somehow got a hold of his account details and has been taking out every morning £500 from my bank account. He said, this has been going on for 6 days. It had been going on for 6 days, every single day, until the day I walked into my bank branch in order to withdraw the money. He says, just imagine what would have happened had you not asked me to lend you money. I would have been going to my account in 6 months' time. I would have been completely, completely bankrupt. I wouldn't have had anything left in there. So I'll go to Shkoyach for that. And so this same couple had another gewaltige story of Siyata Dishmael, another unbelievable story of Hashgacha Protas, the same couple. It says the color of this couple, a remarkable story, how both happened with the same zug, with the same couple. He says this same couple, the color was involved with an organization that deals with infertility. And this organization had an interesting program that they were running. So they would match up eligible young ladies with young couples who didn't have any children, and they would have the girls, these unmarried girls, daven for the couple, and the couple davening for the girl, and the girl would sometimes contribute from her salary towards the treatments that were necessary. That was an arrangement done by one of the organizations, Gewaldig. Seemed to have a lot of issues. One day, This young girl, this Kalam idol gets a phone call. She said, we just want to tell you some good news. This organization calls up, we want to tell you some good news. The couple you've been davening for, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to daven anymore for them to have Yeshua. Now you can daven for a good lady. Gewaldig. That same day she got engaged. End of story. No subtitles, nothing at all. It could be a coincidence, but I think it's a gewaltige story of Hashgacha Protes. We see two people in this Baal Bat Chaver, who nennet Chila. But sorry, Chlo Yisadov, who nennet Chila. Gewaltige Mais. V'lo yir b'vnei Yisrael negev v'geshes b'nei Yisrael l'akodesh ha'hedos shtikele chasidish shavot. V'lo yir b'vnei Yisrael negev v'geshes. Now we have to connect it back to the pasuk, right? When people go into a Rebbe, often they come into the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, some other fellow goes into the Rebbe. The Rebbe asks him, no, how's Panusa? Baruch Hashem, it's gewaltig. What's machen the kind? Are they learning okay? Baruch Hashem, they're learning really well. How's the Shalom Bayis? Gewaltig, amazing. So what are you coming for? So he tells the Rebbe, I want to make sure that it continues the same way. I want to make sure that this is the last time I have to come. And you give me a bracha, and you have to make sure that Baruch Hashem, when things are going well, to check in as well, and to daven as well, and to do yishtadlus as well, that things are continued the same way. And this is the merumas in the pasuk, apparently, Yevahem b'vnei Yisrael negev. You shouldn't need a negev, b'geshes b'nei Yisrael elakodesh. V'lo yevahem Yisrael negev. You shouldn't need a negev, you shouldn't need something bad to happen to you, b'geshes b'nei Yisrael elakodesh, in order to be geshes elakodesh, to go to the Rebbe mit hakvittel, or to go and daven a special tefillah, or to continue davening for success. Is interesting enough, I think there's an organization that deals also in infertility at the moment. Here in Manchester, running a major fundraising campaign at the moment. And there's always two reasons to give. There's always one reason to give. That Baruch Hashem, we've been through that, and we've come out the other end, and it's gewaltig. Or, Baruch Hashem, we never needed it, and we vow to hope that we won't. It's a gewaltig zach, we shouldn't wait until things are difficult in order to be nigash el akodesh, in order to do what we need to do to have a Yeshua, or to make sure we don't need one in the first place. I want to move on quickly to one of the most unbelievable divrei Torah I've ever heard. It's a gewaltig idea. And this year, when it came to preparing for this year, I remember that I had a beautiful idea, but I could for the life of me not remember what it was. And I called up my shver last night, and we went through different divrei Torah on this until I came to the right one. And Baruch Hashem, I made it. Baruch Hashem, I found it. I want to share it quickly. Asei lecha shtei chatzoitzis kesef, kapitel yod posik beis. Asei lecha shtei chatzoitzis kesef. Make yourself two chatzoitzis. Gemara minochot chof ches. Bechaskel Abramsky, has it been mentioned this week already? Not yet. Gewaldige, gewaldige Wort. Gemorim Menachos Chav Chesed, Gemorim mentions that. Say Lecha, Shnei Chatzoyches Kesev. Make yourself for you, Lecha. Shnei Chatzoyches Kesev shall be for you. That any Chatzoyches were made for Klal Yisrael were made every generation again. Every door had their own Chatzoyches. The other Klei HaMishkan were made the doors like the menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu made it in the Mishkan. They brought it down to Eretz Yisrael, like we mentioned before. It was Lo'olam Vo'ed in the Mitzvah Hashem. We're going to use it in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. The Chatzoyches had to be new every door. And I heard the gewaldige, gewaldige idea, b'shem Reb Chaskel Abramsky. Reb Chaskel Abramsky says the following. Every generation needed their own chatzoitzris. Very nice, they needed their own chatzoitzris, although the tunes, the sounds that we blew from the chatzoitzris stayed the same. The same two tikkias when we wanted to gather the Klal Yisrael, the same one tikkia when we wanted to gather the Nesiyim. The tunes were exactly the same. But the chatzoitzris had to change by every generation. The chatzoitzris had to be different. The medium which these tunes were brought forth, the medium, the way that we delivered those tunes, that had to change every generation. Reb Chaskel says the following. Says the message which Klal Yisrael gives over to the next door. The message of Torah, Yerushalayim, the Emes Tikach, which Klal Yisrael gives over to every generation from door to door. That stays the same from in every door, but our chatzoitzos have to be made sure to change. The way we give over those messages, the way we give over the messer to the next door, the way we give over the message to the next generation, that has to change. Things that were okay 500 years ago weren't okay today. We can't do them anymore. If we do them, they won't work. If we do them, we'll not be matzliach. You know, when I was a child, maybe even a little earlier, it was still very common as one of the examples for Rebbes to hit. No. Say that. That was the Messiah. Of Gemara in Makkos. Gemara in Makkos says, a father or a Rebbe which hits a child, and the child, Rachman and Litzlan, dies, he doesn't have to go into Golos because Chosich Shifto, he's saying a Benoi. It's a Gemara. And that was Taka. The minig in Klal Yisrael mikadmas tenor, and Baruch Hashem, many gedolei olam and many gewaldige children came out from that mahalach. Today it seems that that's not an appropriate mode of operation anymore, and that's an appropriate modus operandi anymore. If you do that, you're likely not to be matzliach in what you're trying to achieve. It's very likely not that it just doesn't work anymore. And Mechanchim and gedolei Yisrael heard b'shem Reb Chaim Kanievsky a few years ago that very, very sharp. I can't remember how sharp he was. He was a Ritzeach, very, very sharp for someone who it was corporal punishment in our day and age. Not appropriate. Things have changed. Things have changed. Chatzoses have changed. Has the message changed? Absolutely not. The message of Torah and Yerushalayim and Erlichkeit is absolutely still the same as it always was. But the medium, the way we give it over, that has to change and has changed. And someone who does not follow the times won't work. I heard the gewaldige Wort in relation to this, also from a parasha a few weeks ago. Pashat is, you have to give hoichacha to someone in order that he shouldn't make more averus. But I heard the gewaldige pshat b'shem Reb Yitzchok Kutna, I never saw this inside. Reb Yitzchok Kutna says the following, there's two ways to give someone to hoichacha. There's one way to give someone to hoichacha, is when you tell them, Who do you think you are? Chil Shabbos. You're nobody. Chil Shabbos, bist den ganzen Mashiach. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? The other way is, bist doch hazar gewaldige Yid. You're such a special person. You're such a geschmacke fellow. Why in the world would you do something like that? Why would you, who's so special, so gewaldig, so amazing, why would you do something like that? Two ways of giving techocha. One is putting the person down, making the Avera big. And one is making the person big, but the Avera very small. Is the right way of chinuch. Don't make the Avera bigger than him. Don't make the Avera bigger than him. Make him rather bigger than the Avera. Be marrying the person. Pick the person up and put the Avera down. Pastachnish for someone like you to do an Avera like that. And just to finish off this idea, when we do have to change our methods, when we do have to change our chatzotzos in every dirt, it's very nice that people feel things have to change. But in Klal Yisrael, we have a mahalach that we follow the Gedol Yisrael's derech in these things. And it's very famous, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, and it also ties into our parsha, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, by the hesped of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. By the hesped of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Rabbi Aaron built up Torah in America. Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum mentioned also a pasuk in this week's parsha. He mentioned the pasuk in this week's parsha, Vayas Kein Aaron. And Rashi mentioned Vayas Kein Aaron, Melamed Shleishina. And Rabbi Yoel said about Rabbi Aaron Kotler, he says, Rabbi Aaron, Vayas Kein Aaron. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Melamed Shleishina, he came to America and he managed to adapt to the new generation. But still, Loishina from the Derech Yisrael Sabbah, he managed to shtel oif, he managed to build up the Torah institutions in the most similar way to what they were in the Haim, to what they were before the war. All the while, adapting himself to the new Dor, to the new generation, changing his chatzotzos for the new Dor. And I want to move on, now a few minutes, I want to move on to the very last idea I want to mention today. And that's in Kapitel Yud, Pasuk Choftes, the parasha where Yisroi is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to move on myself, I want to go back to where I come from. And the Chumash here. I just want to read that Pesukim quickly. Very Choshev, Kapitel Yud, Pasuk, Choftes, Shkoyach. Vayomer Moshe Lechoivov, Ben Reuel Amidyoni Choysen Moshe. Moshe spoke to Hishver, Noisim Anachno Lamokim Asha'oma Hashem, Oisei Eten Lechem. We're about to travel to the place which Ribbono Shel Olam promised I will give to you. Lechoitonu, come with us. Veitavnu Lecho, we will be kind to you. Hashem, Dibur Tov Al Yisrael. Hashem has spoken that he will do kind things to Klal Yisrael. Vayomer Eilov, Yisrael answered, Batle, Eilech, Kimel, Arzi, Vemoilati, Eilech, I want to go back to the place I come from. Vayomer Moshe answered back, Al not Tazim Visonu, don't leave us. Ki Al Ken Yodato, Chaniseinu Bamidbo, Vayisilonu Lech. Now comes the punchline. And it will be when you come to us. Those good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he will do with us, those we will continue to do with you, we will pass on to you. It's very strange. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off by saying, and then Yisrael says, not really, that's not really what I have in mind. And Moshe says, no. The good things that Hashem will say, we'll do it. You just said that a minute ago. Yisrael obviously didn't agree. Yisrael obviously thought that wasn't a good argument. He wants to leave. Why are you saying it again? So how did Gevaldige idea connected to this very, very beautiful idea? And we know in Tehillim it says, "Oz yomu b'goyim higdal Hashem lasos imele, higdal Hashem lasos imanu hayinu semeichem." Oz yomu b'goyim higdal Hashem lasos imele, higdal Hashem lasos imanu hayinu semeichem. And I saw this in the Sefer of Shlomo Levenstein. He says the following. He says, "There's many countries and democracies out there around the world, which at least until very recently were stable." Not very much rocked the boat. They didn't have to worry about terrorism. They didn't have to worry about very much. Things, Olam Kemenhagei Noeg, was no major threats to their existence. It was all strong and stable. There's nothing wrong with it. It was all comfortable and everything was fine. So on the other hand, you've got Eretz Yisrael. You've got Eretz Yisrael where things are not as clear-cut. Water is not a given there. The whole country keeps on watching the Kinneret up or down all the way through the summer. They have an existential threat. They have a neighbor not far away with nuclear weapons who any day might decide to do something very reckless. The Shem Shemaim, obviously. They have no idea what the next day is going to bring. And it's a swallow panos is much more difficult. People have got it very hard to get by. Since it's not as stable as all these other nations around us. As all these other nations around the world, or many, many lecholapochas. He says, if you turn around to any of these countries around the world, Switzerland, Germany, maybe a little France, the UK, turn around to any of them, and you offer them stability, and you offer them, you won't have any water problems, you offer them, things will be okay. He said, no. Okay, so we've had one bad few years, things haven't gone so well for us, but no. It's not that amazing. On the other hand, if you turn around to Eretz Yisrael, that's what they're lechting for. That's what they would love. Eretz Yisrael would love to live b'shalom over shalom. So, going back to the conversation of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yisrael the following. He was telling Yisrael, listen here. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be very nice for us there. We're going to live very comfortably. So Yisrael said, no. You're living very comfortably. I'm going to go back to Midian. I'm going to live very comfortably as well. Mm-hmm. What you're offering me here is nishta zar goy segedila. What you're offering me here is not that special. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. And he turned around to him and he told him something else. He said that when Klal Yisrael will emitz Hashem be yizaychit to be mekabel p'nei Mashiach tzidkenu, then things are going to be so gewalding and so amazing that even the goyim who have lived comfortably till now and have lived b'shalom of b'shalva and nothing too much has rocked the boat, Klal Yisrael is going to be living on such an amazing high madrega, on such an amazing elevated situation that all the goyim are going to turn around. They're going to say, "Oz yorimu b'goyim, higdil Hashem lasim el Yibon Yisrael did such an amazing things with Klal Yisrael. Higdil Hashem lasim simonu, we want him to do the same with us." Hayinu Simechim would be very happy with that. Says Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yisrael, you come with us to Eretz Yisrael. It isn't going to be just strong and stable. It is going to be Givaldi. It's going to be Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be with the Mishkan, with the Beis HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael, Ashwar Sashkana. You have no idea. You have no idea how amazing it's going to be. And he goes back to the Pasuk and he says, Noisim anachnu el amokim Hashem, Hashem oisei eten lochem v'choy tonu v'etavnu loch, Hashem di b'toy v'al Yisrael's guide za'an git. It's going to be fine. But later on, the second time, see, Akeinu datoch hanisinu bar v'hoyu kiseli chimonu v'hoyu atoiv ahu asheyitim Hashem imonu. The toiv ahu which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to be mating with us, v'itavnu loch, that same toiv you're going to be zoicha to have as well. Mitzvah Shem, we should all be zoicha.
Why didn't he accept?
Very good, okay.
I'm not sure when he did
or not. We should all be zoicha to amol oetz Hashem. Deo oetz Hashem kamayim. V'yom chasim.
Biggest message of Moshiach, all the world day as a chef. Every human being.